This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. One in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. And you know how we do it on an FEF Friday. That means F stands for a lot of things, including football this weekend and funny. Billy Gardell is our comedian of the week. And lo and behold, we told you, we previewed it, and now we come through with the truth. He is here in person in the studio, and he is going to kick it around with you guys and us for a while. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Houston.
Thank you for having me, man. If you don't know me, I was on Mike and Molly. I played Molly. And it was a good run. And I had to come down here and formally apologize to Barry. It was supposed to be his weekend at the Comedy Showcase, and he was nice enough to acquiesce.
So that's how the business goes.
I can do the weekend. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I
really do. Anytime. Thank you. Ken called me, and he goes, hey, I got good news and bad news. And I was like, I have a feeling the good news isn't going to be good news for me. He goes, well, the good news is I got Billy Gardell. I was like, awesome. When am I being moved?
We all go through that.
Thing, absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank dude, anytime.
Gives me a chance to come back to Houston. I've been coming here for, I guess, almost 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, you were at the last stop. And
yeah, Don worked me for no money for many years. And
Sounds about right.
And he got me to do a benefit for free last night. So I figured, you know, this weekend we'll do a show together and we get to hang out and torture each other.
Very good. Now, you said you're working on a Netflix special.
I'm real close to a new special. I'm about 45 minutes into a new hour, and I've been polishing that material. And I love doing it on the club level because it's intimate, and there's a great live or die feeling when they're right on top of you like that. And plus, I'm kind of from the old school. I don't think you should be charging, you know, $60 at a casino and going, hey, here's my new chunk on the airport. You guys let me know what you think. So I like to have that stuff done, and I'm real close to it now. So I'm a slow writer, but it's been about 2 years, so I'm almost there. I'm pretty happy with this material.
You said you like the club setting.
I do.
And you like the intimacy, but you saw what happened recently with these guys charging the stage and everything like that.
The video that got me attacked. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I saw the video without noise, and you know, that happens sometimes when you say things that are strongly opinionated, which, by the way, you should be able to say. You know, this is a free country. You should be able to say whatever you want, and you should be able to choose whether you want to hear it or not. But apparently we don't know how to act anymore. No one knows how to act. Like, that's what my father would say when we were kids and we were acting up. He'd go, don't you know how to act?
Yeah.
No one knows how to act anymore. So I think there's freedom of speech here, and then there's a choice to listen or not listen. And we need to get back to being human beings.
Now, you have one show tonight at 8 o'clock?
Yep.
And then two shows tomorrow night,
7 and 9:30 at the
Joke Joint
Comedy Showcase.
And I talked to Ken. Exactly. I talked to Ken yesterday. So we're going to do a giveaway at the end of the segment. We'll give away a couple pairs of tickets to the late show tomorrow.
Very cool.
So yeah, so we'll do that as well. So you guys hang tight at the end of the segment.
Right on.
We'll do a giveaway for some tickets as well.
And you're from Pittsburgh originally?
I am, man. I'm still nursing my loss to the Jacksonville Giants. I haven't heard that much rage come out of that stadium since the 70s.
We were talking during the break.
Brutal.
And, I mean, you look at – obviously, Jacksonville had a great defense. But at the same time – and you guys lost to them twice this year. I hate to bring up old wounds.
No, you're right. I think the first time they caught us sleeping, and then we knew they were legit when they came in. But you know what, man? You put up 43 points at home in a playoff game and you lose. So I got to go to the coaching. What the hell's going on up in the booth that you're not seeing that needs to be corrected? The flats were empty the entire day. They killed us in the flats, up and down the field. And for a guy like Bortles to do that to you?
You know that's what he's going
to
do.
Horrifying. This is the only pass the guy can throw.
Yep.
Exactly. And we couldn't take it away.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think there were some real bad calls on offense for us, too. I thought Ben did great. I mean, he threw some touchdowns that were spectacular. But, you know, they have a rule there with Haley that he can't audible out of. And some of those fourth and ones, you're running a sweep on fourth and one. It was insane. It was like, are we a high school team that doesn't know what we're doing? It was really horrible.
It just seems when you have the best receiver in football and the best running back in football, should you not be able to just keep everybody at bay?
If they can let that pretty boy Brady sneak, Ben can sneak. Yeah. But that's on the coaches, man. That's on Haley, and I'm glad he's gone.
Now, at the break, you mentioned how much you hate the Patriots.
I do.
And I can't imagine you're a huge Eagles fan, being from Pittsburgh and being a Steelers
the Eagles.
Fan.
They're in the NFC, you know what I mean? And yeah, I got to root for anybody who's playing the Patriots. So I got to. And somebody asked me, what's it like being a Steelers fan and rooting for the Eagles? I go, it's kind of like your cousin that gets a lot of DUIs and then they do something good. You got to go show up and support them, you know? So I'm rooting for the Eagles.
What? Now, I don't want to blame all of Pennsylvania, but maybe, no. I mean, you being from Pittsburgh, maybe you. Why are Philly fans so horrible?
I don't know, man. The thing that does make me laugh is the poor people of Minnesota have no idea what's coming for them because you got Boston fans and Philly fans.
Oh, you're right.
And you got that Minnesota, oh, where are you guys from? And then there's two cities of, I'll kill you! They're all going to convert. There's going to be a lot of bar fights in Minnesota.
Well, they
this
said
week,
that Minnesotans were trying to become Uber drivers for the week so they could just drop all the Philadelphia fans at the wrong destination.
You're going to need that. Yeah.
You can drop them off at the wrong destination and then realize it's your car because it's coming back at you. There's no doubt about that.
You don't want them in your car.
These are a couple of roughhouse fans, man. I'm curious to see how the crowd control is this week.
Because Boston's known around the country in sports from a sports perspective as being the most racist sports fans.
Both fan bases have a reputation for fighting themselves. They don't fight the other. They fight themselves. So if you put two of those together, does that negate it? It's going to be a peace conference? Or is it just going to be 300? Yeah. Is that what's going
to... We're crazy, but we've got a loyal Eagles fans that call the show. And one guy was calling the show. I said, look, we would all be pulling for you guys if not for your fans. But let me remind you, aside from the courtroom that used to be in the old vet and all the other things,
and the
that
jail.
You threw full beer cans at Vikings fans just for walking in the stadium.
Yeah. Pelted Santa with snowballs.
Did that.
Cheered Irvin for an almost season-ending injury.
Like you said, fought each other when you couldn't find fans of the opposing team.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you punched two horses that cops were on because you were mad you got arrested.
Well, when your team wins and the police have to grease the telephone poles,
I saw that.
Maybe it's time to check our behavior. No one knows how to act. That's what I just
said. And they
said.
Still
no
got on those poles,
of course,
which is even worse.
They still tried to climb them.
Oh, yeah, they got
rolling
up there.
A guy in sawdust so he can get up. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's good stuff. Now, you said, okay, so you're not doing, where are you doing the Netflix special?
I'm either going to do I'm finishing my special and I want to go to either Netflix or Showtime because I think those are the two best places for comics to do specials right now. I think they're doing the best stuff. So we'll see when I'm done and I'm ready to sell. That's
Nick's a big fan of Redbox and also Blockbuster.
You're a Redbox guy, man?
Absolutely.
I
saw you vaping at the 7-Eleven. What's happening?
Now you're gonna film it in Chicago?
Yeah, I think Chicago is gonna be where I go because I did the last one in my hometown. I did halftime in my hometown in Pittsburgh, which was awesome. And Chicago really was just incredibly supportive through Mike and Molly. So I kind of want to go back and feed off some of that kind of energy.
Now, what's it been like since Mike and Molly went off? And
really great, man. You know, that was a life turner. That changed everything, put me on the map. And, you know, 20 years to an overnight success, as they say. And and then after Mike and Molly, I went right into a miniseries for CMT. And we did a 8-part miniseries about the beginning of Sun Records in Memphis. And I got to play Colonel Parker, Elvis's manager.
Wow.
And that was a nice dramatic role. So it kind of opened some doors for me in different areas. So now pilot season's coming. And because of having done both of those, I'm getting looked at for different projects. So this is the first time I'll be a free agent in 8 years. So I'm excited to see what's out there.
And I love the fact that you're not limiting yourself to just comedy. You're going to get into some dramatic acting and otherwise.
Yeah, my hero was Jackie Gleason, and I certainly like what a big man John Goodman has done. So if I can take a chance and do some of those character parts, that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
That's fantastic. You can stick with us for another segment?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Outstanding. Thanks. Billy Gardell's Hill. We're going to continue with a whole lot more of The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. Don't go anywhere. It is ESPN 97.5.
New York has a great road map. There's a bar every 4 feet with a church in between them. That's the system up here. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. Let's get a slice.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. It is the usual guys that are always here in studio. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel, and we have the great distinct pleasure and honor of having Billy Gardell in our studios as he will be performing at the Joke Joint, one show tonight, two on Saturday. You know him from Mike and Molly, Bad Santa. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the fact you're working on a little Netflix, and you're doing a little bit, getting branching out into some dramatic acting as
well. Yeah, and also my old boss, Chuck Lorre, there's my name drop for this segment. But he called me a couple months ago, and he said, hey, you want to play a creepy redneck? And I was like, yeah. So he put me on Young Sheldon for a guest appearance, and they've invited me back to come back in February and do it again. So I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a man. Show that's blowing up, too.
Yeah, it's a fun show, man. That kid's super talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, like ridiculously talented.
And that's a spinoff of the Big Bang Theory.
It's Young Sheldon. It's Jim Parsons' character.
I was going to say, the original Jim Parsons is from here.
And he does the narration of the show, too, so it's very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jim's from here. He's a big Rockets fan.
Yeah, and if you guys are interested, you can go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. 8 o'clock tonight is the show, and then tomorrow, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Correct. And at the end of this segment, we will give away 3 pairs of tickets to the show, to the 9:30 show.
Cool.
So hang in tight there. Yeah, we'll do that.
To the 9:30 show tonight, Barry, or which?
No, there's only one show tonight, 8 p.m. Don't confuse everybody.
9:30 is tomorrow.
9:30 tomorrow. That's correct.
Look, man, 8 tonight, 7 and 9:30 tomorrow, all right? Just focus on the red box.
We told him there's a reason why he's in there and we're in here. And if we need him, there's a window.
That's the producer aquarium.
That's right.
You knock on the glass.
Nick's like,
you drop a hot dog over the side and feed him.
Nick's like, I get picked on enough. Now I'm just getting gained.
Now I got three people picking on me.
Yeah, bro. It's all love.
Yeah. Now, what you've been in comedy for a while now. How much has it changed since you got started? And because I don't know, for me, I'm only 5 years in, and I don't really see much difference for me from when I started. But I mean, you and Don,
I was
been
very
around.
Lucky, man. I came in the late 80s, in 87s when I started, so it was still kind of like jazz back then. It was still, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And it was more of a I think it was, to not sound too artsy, but it was more soulful. I thought it was more soulful. I thought it was more honest. And it was about getting a laugh. It was about healing people with laughter. That was it. And then we had some guys that were really edgy, that were great, that made great points. And what happened is it got oversaturated and it took a hit. And then it morphed into this thing where it seems to me like the comics are just mad at each other. And I don't quite understand why or what they're upset about. But it seemed like there was a little more camaraderie when I started, and it was nicer to be a part of that because it kind of helped you spar and become a better comic without, you know, trying to make someone feel like they should kill themselves.
Yeah, somebody
it's
asked me.
It's a little angry these days.
Somebody asked me about it. Change. It's like It's a solo sport.
It is
now.
A solo
it
sport.
Is.
But we had a great group of guys that didn't really care what your act was about as long as you were a good guy. And we would actually, you know, we'd write tags and help each other. Like, my open mic night was me and Daryl Hammond and Tom Rhodes was the feature act then, and we were all just starting, and he would blow into town, and we had Carrot Top and Wayne Brady, and Larry the Cable Guy was Dan Whitney back then, but nobody hated each other. We would do open mic night, and then we'd go to Denny's and try to figure out how the hell we were going to make a buck doing this. You know, it wasn't so, and it kind of morphed into, I think there's just a meanness in it now that there doesn't need to be. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, but it doesn't seem like
I'm sure
like
there's four comics listening going, he doesn't know, shut up, whatever.
No.
Doesn't it seem like it's across society these days? And maybe social media has a little bit to do with that, too?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I think having the veil of being able to say something electronically as versus looking someone in the eye and telling them that, I think we've taken away a class. We've taken away a sensitivity. We've taken away a discretion. You know what I mean? It's people can just say whatever they want without any consequence. And I think it's dangerous. Well, I don't think everybody needs a voice.
No, we call them cowardly keyboard confidants. Because if they can text, they can duck and run.
Yeah.
And as Charles Barkley has said, you know, everybody that is with a keyboard thinks that they can save the world, and they're a bunch of idiots.
Exactly. I think we are, you know, compassion is always the answer. I don't know how we get back to the middle. That's my thing.
We got a listener, Harrison Lee, huge fan of yours.
Okay.
And he, first of all, he said Halftime was his favorite special of all time.
Thank you, Harrison.
But he said, Billy, please tell the story about your grandma drinking highball glasses of bourbon with the one cherry to break it up.
I was saying, you could always know it was getting close to Christmas when my grandmother would start drinking. My Irish grandmother would start drinking 2 weeks before Christmas. To celebrate the birth of Jesus. I guess that's, you equate that with Jameson, but that was her thing. And she would always drink highballs. And I would say to the audience, if you're too young to know what a highball is, it's straight bourbon and they drop a cherry in there, like, that's going to break it up. You know, and back in those days, there was no rules for parenting. She would just give us the cherries. So you'd be eight, just messed up on highball cherries, trying to build a bar out of Legos, just going, that is cool, man. She's just a righteous broad, man. And that was how it was in my house, you know.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
We were
awesome.
Talking about it yesterday because I grew up in the Midwest, yeah. and old-fashioned. Was
an
what
old
my
fashioned.
Was
there
what
you
my
go,
parents
man.
Said. You mentioned that down here. People yeah. don't know what it is.
No, you can drink it or you can take a layer of paint off.
Yeah, and we, exactly right. And we were the same way. We were like, and we got the cherries too. It was
well,
like,
then the reward was always if you got your parents a drink, you got a sip.
Yep.
And you're coming back. I'm pretty sure that's not in Parent Magazine.
No. There's pictures of me with a cigarette in my hand and a beer from my sitting on my dad's lap. Yeah, that was and, the good old
well,
days.
How about sitting on the middle seat in the car, no seat belt? My old man just smoking Winston's, just yes. One bump, you're going through the windshield.
Reach you know? In the back and grab me another beer. Exactly. I remember these road trips.
I remember my dad actually saying, tuck that seatbelt down into the seat. That's
getting
get
it out of the way.
Jam it down in there.
You'd actually push that down there. That's going to hurt your side.
Exactly like, oh right. And, you know what? And you think about it again with the way society is today, and obviously in a lot of ways, good for safe too. But I can remember coming home going, Mommy, why did Mrs. Tracy not stay in between the lines? She was making sure she covered all of them.
Here was the answer
around.
My parents would give. She was tired, honey. She had a long day at work. She's very tired. Sometimes she likes to park on the curb. Are you hungry? You want a snack?
Exactly. That's what they go next. Hungry? Can I get you something? We'll get you something to eat.
Now, do you do a lot of your style?
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of family? I know you talk about your son.
Mostly, I'm almost 90% of my act is about being a father and trying not to be a hypocrite. And then being right now, I'm on this new run, which I'm really enjoying, being a veteran couple. My wife and I have been together 18 years. And now my son is starting to disappear on the weekends to sleep over at his buddy's. So now which is great. He's gaining his independence. But now he's left me and her at home alone. And that, you know, we circle each other like two gunfighters in Westworld in the morning. I mean, we've had every discussion and every argument, so we're trying to feel each other out again. So, and I guess it's the precursor to empty nesting. So I've been talking about that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Does your wife mind? Because I know mine gets mortified when I bring her up on stage. Does she, not like,
well, how
you know,
long
topics.
Have you been married?
Well, we've been together. Well, it'll be our 20 years that we've been together. We've
oh,
been
wow.
married for 14.
Okay. So she should know by now.
Well, yeah, but I didn't get into comedy till way after
so
we were married.
You've only been 5 years. About 10 years in, she'll look at you and go, have you written anything new? No, then I'm not going to the show. Right.
Yeah, I don't expect her to be there next weekend. I'll be honest with you.
They get tired pretty quick. But my wife's got a great sense of humor about it, too. And she understands it's what pays our bills, you know. And I don't do anything that's going to make anybody scared or uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the admission of what it is we do to struggle to stay together so long, I think that's actually really funny. And everybody can identify with that who's trying to keep it together. I always tell single people, you don't know. You have no.
Oh,
just shut up.
That guy right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The red like, boxer
all right,
has
well,
no
red
clue.
Box, all red box has to think about is what am I going to eat and what am I going to eat and can I take a picture of it and put it on Facebook? That's it. That's the end of your responsibility list. You don't know terror yet.
You're
what
leaving
you
an element
child?
Out
you
that we
terror.
Give him a hard time about,
which
too,
is?
Which is when you're all by yourself and no one's policing you. It's not always TV you're watching and it's always,
yeah.
You know.
No, without a doubt, man. I'm no good unsupervised, you know? I need my wife telling me what to do and giving me a list every day.
Yeah.
That's my deal.
Live yeah. by the list.
I'm fine being married. I like it.
Well, before we get out of here, I got to get your thoughts on the Super Bowl. I mean, you're obviously a big football fan. Is yeah. football your sport? Are you?
Football's my favorite. I go football, baseball, hockey.
I was going to say, yeah, where does hockey fit in?
Penguins, Pirates, Steelers, all the okay. way around the horn. Although nutting in Pittsburgh should be run out of town on a rail. And give. I mean, we lost that Jacksonville game, and then he traded McCutcheon. Right, 2 days later.
Yeah. I was going to say, the Astros are thanking you for Garrett Cole.
Cole's phenomenal this year, yeah. right? And I tell you, man, they do. He sings the same song every small market team tries to sell, which is, if you come to the stadium, then I'll be able to keep players. And then we show up, and then he lets them go. He's a dirtball, and I hope he's gone soon.
Wow.
How's that for a celebrity opinion?
There you go.
Yes. I hate when you get guys that are on TV, and they're like, I just enjoy being at the game. I'm like, no. The problem is, we got no right fielder, no closer, and we need safety help with the Steelers.
You're just gunning them all down.
Well, Lemieux in the game.
You're never
going
to get invited to an owner's
box. I like the way Lemieux runs the Penguins. Yeah. I really do. Yeah, I do. I really like the way that organization is run, and they are my they're my state. They've just started pulling it together the last 15 games. I think they should end up in the playoffs again. And they're super fun to watch, man. I just
Sid
really
the kid
enjoy
and yeah. The track the record
gang.
Is
the
there.
The whole
yeah.
gang. And I think I really think Sullivan is what changed that. I thought the pieces were there for about 4 years, and Sullivan was the coach that came in and made that work. I think he gets a lot of credit.
All right, so who do you have in the Super Bowl? How do you see it going?
I like the over for those of you wagering just for fun.
Oh, yeah, a lot like of people just do it for more than that here.
That's what I meant. I caught it at, I caught it at 47.5. It's up at 48. I wouldn't go past 49. I like the Eagles to actually score first if you're looking at prop bets. I like there to be a total of under 4 field goals, and I'm going to call the upset. I'm going to say Philadelphia 28-24.
Look at that.
Good thing you didn't do there any research.
There you go. No, I wasn't reading.
Yeah, you weren't ready. At all.
I wish you would have came ready, Billy. I mean, come on, next time. Be a
right
professional.
From the seat of your pants. Yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
All right, but we're going to take callers number 8, 9, and 10 right now. 713.
Get them on the line, Redbox. That should be his whole That's yeah. his nickname. That's Please his tell nickname. Me that is, right?
Change your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Redbox.
The producer, Redbox.
At Redbox.
Look at his regular handle, which we've already changed for him several times, is at the producer Nick.
Yeah.
At Poor Redbox guy. Has got to be better than that.
713-780-3776. Be callers 8, 9, and 10. You'll get a pair of tickets to see Billy tomorrow night at 9:30 at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase.
Right on.
Billy, thank you for being here, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next time.
All right.
Get out there and see Billy, regardless of whether you win the tickets or not. It's at the Joke Joint at 45 in Fuquay. So get out and see him. One show tonight, two on Saturday, and then you think he might pay a little attention to that game on Sunday. We'll be back with the second half of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.